back. Well, we've an absolute feast of fiddling in tonight's concert. One of the great fiddle players in the history of Irish music is coming on to start the second half, James Kelly. And I've known about James. I met him in London years ago when I was living there. He used to come over and play there with his brother John. And he came from one of the most musical families in Ireland at that time. His father is a legend in the history of Irish music in the 20th century. And you could argue that the Chieftains, our greatest musical ambassadors, wouldn't really exist today if it weren't for this man, John Kelly, James Kelly's father, because he was the repository of the oldest stratum of the tradition, the centre of the whole thing, that Sean O'Rea, the great musicologist, drew upon for most of his own inspiration and advice in the formative years of the group that was to lead to the evolution of the Chieftains, Ceoltóirí Chulainn. So James Kelly grew up in the most musical of environments and became a master fiddler very early on in his own life. He came to America, but not before he'd played in the group that is immortalized in the whole tradition of ensemble playing in the 1970s in Ireland, the group Planxty. And he played with Planxty in one of his incarnations. Then he came to America with two other great musicians, Paddy O'Brien, who lives now in Minneapolis, St. Paul, a great accordion player, and Doughy Sproul, the great guitar player, who introduced Dadgad to the whole traditional music scene here. And the three of them made two fantastic LPs together, now recently released as CDs on Shanachie, and they're worth a listen. They're classic recordings, great exuberant, brilliant music. Again, very, very traditional. And then James later on was to join Patrick Street and played with various Cayley bands over the years as well. But went to settle in South Florida, has been living in the Miami area now for quite some time, and has more recently become known as an extraordinary solo fiddle player, one of the great fiddle players in the history of the music, also a great composer of tunes, and just a great character, just a great person to have around, and delighted to know James as a friend over the years, as well as everything else, as well as his musicality. He's just an asset to every musical gathering that he...
that he performs in and takes part in.
And he's a great asset to Augusta. He's going to be accompanied by two other wonderful musicians, Mark Stone and the Baron from San Antonio, Texas, one of the great virtuoso players on that instrument, and the irrepressible, ubiquitous Zan McLeod from North Carolina on guitar. So please make them welcome, James Kelly, Mark Stone, and Zan McLeod.
Fantastic introductions, my God, such pressure. We're going to play three jigs for you to start off. The first one is a tune called Podgin O'Rafferty, Pat Rafferty's jig. It's a lovely jig. Seamus Ennis used to play this one often. I can remember him playing it. And the second jig is a jig called The Mug of Brown Ale, another nice tune. And the last one is a tune called The Knights of St. Patrick. Thank you. Thanks very much. Well, the next selection, I was thinking about this before we walked out here on the stage, and of course, this is probably something I shouldn't admit in public, but one of the great Kerry fiddlers, Dennis Murphy, who died many years ago, used to come and visit us in Capel Street where I grew up, and he often stayed over, and in fact I often slept with him myself as a young kid, because we had very small, we only had that explains a lot, Santa. But our household was very small, and if people visited, literally they just bunked in with us as best as they could. But I can remember this evening, Dennis Murphy came up to the house, and I was only about 12 at the time, and I made the bed this night, and of course he came up later on after been with my father downstairs, and he destroyed my beautifully made bed. I've been very upset. But anyway, it was a joy to meet them, and Johnny O'Leary as well, and listen to the great music that they played, and Johnny O'Leary is alive today. So in their memory, we would like to play these two polkas called the Bally Desmond Polka and the Knocknabowl. Thank you very much. This is going to be our last selection, and we're going to play an air to begin with, or at least I'm going to play an air, and Zan will join me, an air called Seán Adíre Glanadh, in English that's John Dwyer of the Glen. He was a rapparee who lived in the late 1600s, sometime around the Battle of Aughrim, and Jim Flanagan told me that was in the year 1692. And I had a friend of mine and my family's for many years, probably since the mid-40s, whose daughter is here with us to speak, Jackie McCarthy. Tommy McCarthy was a wonderful musician and a great man to meet, and his family, of course, his wife Kathleen and Jackie's brother and her sisters. and Tommy passed away last August in Ireland. And the year previous to that, another great musician from County Clare called Bobby Casey also passed away, and a great loss to this music. Unfortunately, there are not many people like those people, that style of person and musician around today. So in their memory, I'd like to dedicate this air to Jackie McCarty, who's here with us this evening, and to the family out there and so on. I'd like to dedicate the air Shana Dearig Lana. And then we're going to play some reels afterwards. The first one is a reel called In the Midst of Adversity, which is a composition. I wrote that one driving at 65 miles an hour one day with nothing to write on, and I looked for a piece of paper and the pen was on the other side of the car on the floor. I was able to duck down and grab it like this and then find a piece of paper in the back of the car and write on the steering wheel driving at 95. So I called it In the Midst of Adversity. Then Mark is going to play a solo after that. Before that, sorry. And Zan is going to play.
I think I'll play a reel called Martin Wins.
Martin Wins reel. And then three more reels after that. The first two reels, I'd like to dedicate them to Liz Carroll. They're more compositions. The first one is called Touching Cloth, and the second one is called Sitting on the Throne.
You can imagine what he was. You can only imagine what he was doing when he wrote that one.
It was probably very contemplative and quiet.
Yes, I wrote it during a very reflective moment.
Touching cloth indicates a certain sense of urgency.
Steady. Steady.
We're in public here. The last reel is a reel called the Congress Reel.
Thank you. Thank you. James Kelly there with Mark Stone and Dan McLeod. It's mighty music altogether. Well, the next man I'm going to introduce was one of the first Irish people that I met and got to know and became friends with after I arrived in Philadelphia in 1973. And I met him in West Philadelphia. Like myself, he was studying, came over here to go to school, and I was studying folklore and he was studying anthropology. And we used to meet and get together a lot, and then we ended up living around the same part of town. And if you know Philadelphia, out around Germantown, Mount Airy, and it would not be the high rent district. And we had a lot of parties together and sang a lot of songs and caroused a lot over the years. And then we went our separate ways. He went off to New Guinea, and he did his thesis work out there in New Guinea and came back. And then he went down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania for a year, and then he headed off in the early 80s down to Hattiesburg in Mississippi and began to teach anthropology. And he's been there ever since, been chairman of the anthropology department, and has been coming up now to Augusta for the last 5 or 6 years and teaching a whole variety of topics, literature and Irish poetry and writing in general, and this year teaching songs and ballads. He's a great asset to the place altogether. And he comes from the little Gaeltacht, and I neglected to mention this Gaeltacht in County Cork, another Irish-speaking area. And he was telling me that just about 1,000 people now still speak Irish in that area, the Coolay, Ballyvourney area. And it's an area known for its great singing tradition, and it was there actually that Sean O'Riordan
the man I was talking about earlier in connection with James Kelly's father, who really started the whole business of ensemble playing in Ireland. It was there that he went and took his young family and made a commitment to the Irish language and to the area and really put it on the map. And after Vatican II, he started the whole tradition of singing in church in the Irish language, wrote the first folk masses in the history of Ireland, and really established that area very strongly in the whole music tradition of the south of Ireland. And this is the area that Jim Flanagan comes from. He's one of the few singers that sings in both Irish and English in this country. And I suppose when you think of it, he probably is the only singing anthropologist that I know in the Irish tradition. So please make welcome Jim Flanagan.
That was great. Head for the wrong mic immediately. Thank you, Mick, and it's wonderful to be back in Augusta. I realized while I was sitting there during the first half listening to all these great performers that I think this is my sixth or seventh year already coming to Augusta, and it feels like I've only been here two or three times. So I want to start off with a song in English, which I think is one of the nicest songs that has been written about Ireland and in the Irish tradition in recent times. It's a song by Phil and June Culclough called Song for Ireland. And it's probably appropriate to sing it again now. Over the last few years, we had great optimism about the Northern Ireland situation, but this summer, we're back to feeling a great deal of tension about hoping that the Northern Ireland situation may work out, but it certainly is not a certainty anymore. I think this song meshes really well, or ties nicely, with a wonderful poem, a little eight-line poem written by Padraig Pearse, the patriot poet who died in 1916. And in eight lines in a poem called Misha Éire, or I Am Ireland, Pearse said, Misha Éire, Shinnamena and Quilloch Béire, Moor Maglore made the rug Cú Chulainn Croga, Moor Manoir Maclown Féin the Yellow Water, Misha Éire, Uigni me non Quilloch Béire. I am Ireland. I am older than the Hag of Béire. Great my glory, I who birthed the great Cú Chulainn. Great my shame, my own children sold their mother. I am Ireland. I am lonelier than the Hag of Béire. Walking all the day, mid tall towers where falcons build their nests. Silver wing they fly, they know the call of freedom in their breasts. Saw black head against the sky, with twisted rocks that run down to the sea. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Talking all the day with old friends who try to make you stay. Telling jokes and news, singing songs to pass the night away. Stood on Dingle Beach and cast in wild foam, found Atlantic bass. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Dreaming in the night, I saw a land where no man had to fight. Rising in your dawn, I saw you weeping in the morning light, lying where the falcons fly. They twist and turn in your rare blue sky, living on your western shore. So summer sunsets asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Camila Mahogany. Wooden instruments have great fun in the temperature changes that we go through here. I'll finish with a song, Oscailge. It's a song called Broke na Carrigy Bonia. It's from the southwest of Ireland, and I think it's one of the nicest love songs we have in the Irish language. It says, to translate just the first and last verse, very loosely, it's west of the river that this beautiful woman lies who has rejected the poet, and he feels, he says in the last line that he can never recover because he has been turned down by this woman. It doesn't stop him, because nothing ever seems to stop poets. Mary knows that. She read wonderful stuff for us at lunchtime today. But in the last verse, he promises her, he addresses her as Thorna King Kailke Mas Dul Veragum, O woman of the white head, if you would just be mine, Begakrod on Kaharabalat, you will have everything from the city you desire. You will have cattle, you will have bees humming in your meadows, and you will have a carriage taking you to the top of the white rock, Broch na Carrigy Bonia, which means actually literally the top of the white rock, but actually means the top of the high hill, of the white hill. Is here Cahashawn and Rick and out. Tahan an yr cywn tis gan lw Is gil y cawm an al yr yndon No gafrad yn gair bai O sy'n stoed fan i A croig mcri is dog she mean tin brohna is lies le fall me lagum gebrok o dulthig mcro galdosu O barlum hin na heir vor na severs rin na spoinu A mi se gustas fehlub de finne E gwyl te vad o nar gaidu A mi se gustas Fe posta gra Le hen ta la hyr is mohor Begor i dy glacar is coisht y dharint Gybrwt na caed i gyboynu As du en kin kalke mas du veragam begakro da paher bala begor the glakagus kosh to the talent gebrukten kaidige boyne. Mila Mahogiv, thank you very much. Thank you.
Jim Flanagan from Ballydvorney and from Hattiesburg. Well, we're coming up to the final act of the concert here, and have a few announcements to make following tonight's concert. As always, there are going to be sessions and informal dancing around the place in Hallyhurst and the Ice House. And there's a fund being set up for the repair of the Ice House, this wonderful building that's been the source of so much great joy to us all over the years, and the centre of so much social and musical activity. So if you want to contribute to that, there are many ways to do it here. For instance, there's the at dinner, there's going to be you can buy a song from travelling musicians, and all the fund will go to the repair of the Ice House. So bring a few extra dollars with you tomorrow night. There'll be a harp circle in the chapel on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And also on Wednesday there'll be a ceilidh and set dance in the dance pavilion from 8 until 11:30. And also on Wednesday there's a veritable cornucopia of choices here now on Wednesday. Picking in the Park takes place in Elkin City Park, located at the bottom of the hill when you leave the campus. And a special feature is the Augusta Family Concert in the main pavilion there at 7 p.m. And Wes and Terry Mallock, who are involved here and helping out on the stage, they're right here, they're going to be performing there at that time. And we're told that also, if you have not visited Graceland yet, put it on the top of your list of things to do. It's a fine building not too far from Benidorm, and there's a dining room there, the Mingo Room, with a 10% discount for Augusta students. Just wear your badge. Two choices for haute cuisine here in the campus. And it reminds me, I was, I'm going to get into trouble for this story. Well, let's say this story exists separately from Augusta altogether. But I was going through the town of Auchnacloy once. I was going up to Derry to see Eugene O'Donnell, the great fiddle player I used to play with for many years. He's back in Derry. He was down in Augusta several times. Eugene's a mighty man. I was going up to Derry to visit him, and it was late in the evening, and I was going through Auchnacloy, and I decided I was hungry. So I stopped there in the main street. There was two restaurants open, and one on one side and one on the other. And I was wondering which one to go to. And I saw a man walking his dog, and I said, well, he's definitely going to be local. And I stopped the car and I said, could you tell me, I said, I just need a bit of advice, which of these two restaurants you'd recommend? And he says to me, well, he says, I'll put it this way. He says, no matter which one you go to, he says, when you come out, you'll wish you'd gone to the other one, he says. Now, as I said, that story doesn't have anything got to do with West Virginia, and certainly not with Elkins. But there is fine dining in the Mingo Room, and the Mingo Room's a beautiful room, and the food is excellent there. So anyway, I don't know if there's anything else here. There's going to be a craft showcase. Did they say that? Craft showcase here in the lobby prior to Thursday night's concert. We're getting all set up here. One of the things I noticed when I went around America, I did a lot of field recordings in the late 70s, and in fact, some of those recordings have been reissued by Rounder Records. I did them with Larry McCullough and Miles Crasson, both musicians and musicologists, and a great time going around and meeting the people playing Irish music in different cities in America in the late 70s. I was struck by one thing, and I didn't really know this because I'd come from Ireland and I didn't know all that much about the scene in America then, but I was struck by the fact that nearly all the people playing in the mid-70s when I started this, they were all immigrants. And then I started to interview people, and I was interviewing people for a couple of years and getting their life stories and learning about Irish music really in the previous 50 years, because nothing had been written about it at all. And the story was emerging everywhere, every single city, that it was just immigrant Irish musicians that were playing this, and as long as there was immigration, this music was going to continue. And this was similar in Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, Boston, all the cities. And a lot of the older musicians were very fearful. They really thought that it was all at an end. And people like Ed Reavy in Philadelphia, Tommy Caulfield in Philadelphia, and people like Tom Byrne and Tom McCaffrey, the late Tom Byrne from Cleveland, they really thought at that time that they were the last ones. But then something magical happened in the 1970s, and Irish Americans, people who were the sons and daughters, often of immigrants, started playing the music, and there was a great affirmation of this culture at a grassroots level in America. It was at that time that people, women started playing in a tradition that had been completely male-oriented. And in all the years that I've been researching, there was only one woman musician that was out there playing. It was Eleanor Neary, a piano player from Chicago, and I'd heard of women like Catherine Brennan Grant in New York, and there were a few others as well, but it was mostly a male tradition. In the 1970s, all of that changed, and you had an evolution at that time of an Irish-American ethnic tradition rather than an immigrant one, and we have four of the great musicians that came out of the 70s and 80s. You've already heard Liz Carroll, who came from that whole era, and we're going to have on stage now to complete the evening. We're going to have Billy McComiskey again, one of the great accordion players in Irish music, grew up in New York and studied with the late Sean McGlynn and then moved down to the Washington area in the mid-1970s. We're going to have Donna Long, whom you've heard already, originally from California, now living in Baltimore. You're going to have Deirdre Connolly, who's here for the first time, and her dad was here, Matty Connolly, the great piper from County Monaghan. He was here several times over the years, and now Deirdre's here for the first time, and she's assisting Joni Madden on Tin Whistle. Deirdre's a wonderful singer and a wonderful musician, and as I said, grew up in a very musical family in this country. And then we have, what can I say about Joni Madden? Joni Madden, one of the great characters, one of the great musicians in the history of Irish music in America, and been involved, of course, with Church. The ladies, I think it's 15 years they've been together now, very close to that. The only group of all women musicians in Irish music on either side of the Atlantic. So they're going to have wonderful dancers with them, set dancers from Ireland. It could be Mick Mulcairn. You don't really need to be told much more about Mick Mulcairn than I'm sure already most of you know, one of the great charismatic figures in Irish set dancing. And he's going to be joined by his partner, Mairead Casey, making her first visit here to Augusta, and she's very welcome indeed. And both of them have been, in recent times, as well as set dancing, teaching advanced workshops in Shannos, the old style of Irish set dancing. So make them all welcome, Joni Madden, Deirdre Connolly,